The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. And welcome back to another episode of Table Talk. This is the second installment in our short series on finance. And there's three of us at the table. There's myself, Luke, Dave, and our resident accountant extraordinaire, Ben. See, I'll get your intro better every episode, so that's the plan here.
You just want to embarrass me.
Yeah, I know, but is this the part where we start telling people that, you know, you're funny and you're really buff and all the other stuff that goes along with...
No? Being an accountant.
Yeah.
No. I'm boring and I don't lift.
If only you could see him. Anyway.
All right, so in our first episode, we spoke about... the ability that God has given us to earn money, mm-hmm. and how that is not only an ability, but also a responsibility and a blessing. Yes. So that God created the ability to work for our personal development and even the restoration of us to our original created state. The question then comes, though, when we do earn the money, what is our responsibility for spending that money? 'Cause I suppose there's this, paradoxical sort of reality that as Christians we weigh up, you know, God calls us to give, right? And, you know, he says he loves a cheerful giver and that we should give, you know, all that we have in some ways. You know, we've got the story of the widow that Jesus, you know, says she was amazing because she gave all that she had. The story of the rich young ruler who wouldn't give and, you know, went away sorrowful. So because this is a bit of a dilemma, we just want to have a conversation about it. Not saying that we've got all the answers, not saying that there is a right or wrong answer, but just wanting to discuss it. So what do you guys think? What is the appropriate way as a Christian to steward the money that we do have?
I think this is a particularly challenging topic for one significant reason, and that is the model that we have in the early church was that they pooled their resources and everyone gave 100% sacrificially. And so, there. On the one hand, that is the demonstration. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we don't live in a culture that makes that easy to do. Mm-hmm. In fact, it makes it almost impossible to do. Mm-hmm. And that particular dichotomy is something that I've spoken about many times with a good friend of ours, Daniel. So, shout out to you, Daniel. Thank you for providing some thought for this episode. But I think that's probably the hardest question that we need to answer. Is it a moral imperative to give to that sacrificial level, or is there a time and a place?
Yeah, I used the word calling in the last episode, and I would say that it applies to probably all three of these episodes, really. But when it comes to giving, and we'll get to that in our next episode, I feel like it's a special calling that God gives to some people to give all, and to just live, you know, by faith, in, you know, from day to day. But for the rest of us, I feel like there is a responsibility to save.
Yeah.
For some people that might be a little shocking to hear, because in a lot of ways we feel compelled that we should be giving as much as we possibly can. But I would say that God wants us to save. And there's some really practical reasons for that we'll talk about later. But even just from the standpoint of when something does go wrong, and things do go wrong, you need money to fall back on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you become a burden on somebody else, right? And so, look, it was all good for the early church, like you say, because they had all things in common for them to have that situation, because then they just go to a brother because they know they gave all, the brother gave all, they've got money right now, they can help me out, or the church fund, or however it worked, practically speaking. But in our context, it's slightly different than that. So I feel like we do need to have savings for a rainy day, you know, savings for, you know, when your car breaks down, for example. Because let's face it, if you don't have transport, sometimes you can't get to work to earn more money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you end up in a really, you know, awkward predicament if you don't have. So I feel like savings are a responsibility we should take seriously.
Yeah. And so then, that being the case, you know, you can save by just amassing a really big bank account, or you can invest that money. And the question that I would ask is that, is investing... Like, is that okay? Is it okay for Christians to be thinking about wealth building?
Mm.
So, I mean, because it's one thing to, you know, have enough money in your account to fix your car when it breaks down, but it's another thing entirely to think about building wealth long term.
I would say it's not necessarily an imperative like the other is for most people. Mm. So, I think there's a distinction, but I definitely think it's okay.
Mm. I mean, let's have a look at the first thing we often say for, and that is a home.
Yeah.
It's the great Australian dream to own your own home. So, and that's the first thing we often save for.
Mm. Yeah. And let's talk about why would you think that that's a good thing, Ben? Like from a accounting perspective?
One, you don't have to pay rent to somebody else.
Yeah.
And in retirement, there's a lot of expense. Yeah. If you're not earning a great deal of money, if you're on a pension like you are in Australia here, you can see a big difference between those who are renting and those who own their own home.
Yeah.
Because
pension just doesn't cover it.
Yeah. Really speaking, you would have to be living in like a small one-bedroom apartment in a very low socioeconomic area just to make it by renting as a pensioner.
Yeah, it's not great for lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that goes back to the previous example, because then you become a burden on your family.
Yes.
You know, and maybe parents feel like that they've earned it if they need to call on their kids for money because they spent so much on them. But, you know, really speaking, why not put away for your retirement, even if it is, like you said, just in the form of a house, so that you don't have to rely on somebody else to pay your rent for you.
And ultimately speaking, a lot of Christians will say, particularly people in the Adventist church, because we're looking to the second advent, a lot of people will say, but second coming is coming, so why should I put money away? But ultimately, we're called to be ready for Christ to come today or tomorrow, but we should be planning like he's
for a lifetime. And even
for a lifetime.
Even Ellen White, one of our church founders, mentioned that we should be living today as if it was our last, but also planning out as if we were going to live an entire lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And that really plays into what you were saying, Dave, that ultimately, if we are preparing for that, then we're not going to be a burden on others. And also, there is a bit of a sense in our country anyway that, well, if I run out of money, the government will look after me and all the rest. But you were saying earlier, Ben, that there's really no reason for us to believe that people that are our age are still going to even have
their
capacity to get a pension.
They're currently capping the indexation on the pension, so it's not keeping up with the standard of living. The other thing they're doing is increasing the age at which you can receive it. Let's face it, there is a reasonable chance there will not be an age pension by the time we retire.
Yeah. Yeah. And so preparing like we assume there isn't going to be one is wise, and it's important for us, and because ultimately, and we're not saying this because you don't want to get, you know, when you get to the place where you need it, you don't want to be caught out and living a difficult lifestyle. What we're really saying is, if we're going to be Christians, ultimately you need transport, you need to be able to get around, you need somewhere to live, you need these things in order to be an ambassador for Christ in a more effective way. Sure, can you be a Christian and not have a car? Absolutely. Like, you know, I'm not saying that devalues you, but what I'm saying is if you don't have the resources to simply live and get around and live your life, you're reducing your ministry opportunities as well.
If you can't look after yourself, how can you look after others?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Also, just like from a practical standpoint, like there are so many things that we spend money on that we don't actually need. So, wouldn't it be a better use of the finances that God has given us to actually be saving that away for something like that we do need, like a house?
Mm.
So, like, I feel like, you know, you could run with the argument that, you know, we should be giving all that we have for the cause of Christ. And, you know, so be it. But like you said, that can be giving it to the cause of Christ in the sense that you're, you know, providing a home where you can entertain people and, you know, do ministry. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But there are much worse things that you could be spending your money on. So just from a very practical standpoint, I feel like, you know, a house, you know, a car, the necessities of life, there's nothing wrong with saving for those sorts of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what then would... So we've established that saving... Okay, from like an emergency fund perspective, that's good, and there's absolutely a good case for like amassing or investing our finances as Christians. But then the question then becomes, well, what do we invest in? You mentioned a house, but from your perspective, Ben, as a professional in the industry now, okay, disclaimer, you know, we're not liable for anything we see on the internet, etc. But what would
more
you say?
More of a case of I can't actually give financial advice, so this is just general stuff.
Yes, exactly. So, but generally speaking, what should people invest in?
Whatever's bringing in a good return is generally good.
That's a great start.
hopefully they already know that.
Yeah.
Watch for financial barbs. So read the fine print.
Yeah.
Your three main ones that people often look at are houses, shares, and interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned houses. Interest is pretty straightforward, sticking money into a bank. Savings that's probably account. Not going to close down is a good idea.
Yep.
Shares, you've also got to keep an eye on those. I know some people, like even my parents, don't believe that people should play the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's perfectly fine if you take a long-term view of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the Warren Buffett style value investing sort of look at it.
You kind of put your money in and actually keep it there for a few years.
You don't expect to pull it out.
Yeah. Don't expect to pull it out. And look for companies that not only make good money, but also are ethically making their money. I won't invest in something like Big Tobacco or one of the big blue chip shares in here in Australia is Tats, and they're the ones who run the lotto.
Hmm.
So we don't believe that the lotto is really that ethical. So
well, it's gambling, basically.
It's gambling
at scale.
So yeah, I won't invest in that sort of thing because I believe that the company is just increasing the suffering of society.
Yeah.
Do you think that given the fact that there are some people who view shares as a negative investment, do you feel that maybe that should be something that anyone listening to this episode just would take a bit of caution about? Like as in if they're going to choose to invest their money in shares, we're saying, you know, maybe there's a place for that.
But if you don't feel comfortable about it,
I probably would lean towards it not being the best place to invest your money. But having said that, if you are going to, do you feel like they should just head into it cautiously?
Very cautiously. Yeah. Stock market goes up, it goes down. Mm. Companies go bust all the time. You need to be very, very careful of what you consider.
And not just that, but also just from a personal standpoint, because it virtually is gambling as well.
Because you have no way of predicting what's going to happen.
Investing is,
you
know,
take an educated, you could take an educated guess.
But my point is, if you're going to head into it and you have like a predisposition towards, you know, a gambling addiction,
Probably
maybe
not the best
you would
idea.
Probably choose a different place to invest your money, right?
Yeah. Houses are generally quite good. Overseas, I'm not sure, but here in Australia, even if the market goes down, houses are always worth something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think from a perspective, one of the ways that I think about investment is I like to select where my money goes based on things I can affect the outcome of.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that generally means business because I have a background in marketing and that sort of thing. I like to think more along the lines of what can I do that would be profitable business-wise rather than thinking of where can I put my money in order to get a return because it's something that I can actually affect the outcome of.
Yeah. And real estate is another one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can do your research. Just as an example, in Bundaberg here, there were large-scale floods. And after natural disasters, of course, prices plummet. And so if you were smart enough to come in and buy those properties, you know, within a couple of years, you would have, you know, I don't know, like what, 800% increase on your money. So, I mean, if you're being...
Well, not 800. I remember people picking up absolutely destroyed homes for about 50,000. And I remember seeing a couple of houses. All they did was clean them out. They never renovated them or anything. Yeah. And they got 100. So
okay. Well, that's doing nothing, right?
So, that's doing nothing. Yeah. People who actually did do something on it,
you're, of course, going to get more.
They got an extra 50,000 for them. And this... they're almost selling the same price as everything else now.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. And my point there being, you know, really, we're not talking about, let's go and, you know, invest in natural disasters. But my point is, if you're smart about any, you know, if housing is something you're interested in, you know, it's always better to invest where you have a degree of knowledge. Is my point.
Knowledge is the big thing when it comes to that sort of thing. I mean, with, so my knowledge of property, for instance, they're good investments in the short term, but in the long term, let's face it, we're hitting end times. Betting against natural disasters, not often a good long-term idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair enough.
So another reason for investing is that, so like for example, we talked, I just want to rephrase. We talked about investment for the sake of preparing your future, like for retirement and so on. But there's also the opportunity to invest for the sake of, like we talked about in the previous episode, creating a residual income stream so that you don't have to necessarily spend all of your time working. We talked last episode about that work-lifestyle balance and how it's really important to get your priorities straight. And if you had a side business, Luke, or you know, if you had some property that was earning you money from rent or something like that, that gives you, it cuts you some slack so that you can work, you know, 8 hours, 16 hours less a week or whatever. You know, maybe you'll get to the place where you don't have to work at all at your job. And that what that does is it opens up opportunities for you to minister to your family. Yeah. It opens up opportunities for you to choose how you spend your life if you want to dedicate your life to the Lord's work. And so, you know, sometimes you could look at investment as an evangelistic opportunity in the long term, obviously. In the short term, it takes time to build to that place.
Yeah.
But in the long term, it can be an evangelistic opportunity that could produce more fruit than if you were to give all of that money that you were investing away when you received it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I have this thing that's been in the back of my mind for a really long time now that I think we should, as a church, because we don't talk about money a lot as a church, right? I mean, we talk about tithes and offering and that sort of thing, but we generally don't talk about how to make money and do it effectively and all those sort of things. My thinking is we should be equipping people in our churches in order to make money for that very reason, Dave, because if someone can earn enough money in order to free up more of their time in order for ministry, then I think that's a really good investment of anybody's time. Because and I don't know how many people listening are heavily involved with their local church, but for, you know, us here who, you know, we are in our church, and the one of the primary problems or difficulties in the church is that the people who are capable workers in ministry are the ones that work the most hours and so are the most unavailable for ministry purposes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's really important to recognize if you're a business inclined person like yourself, or if you're a highly skilled person that, that you can use your skills for the sake of the gospel, it's going to actually be easier for you to do this, what we're talking about now, to invest in some way that to free yourself up to do work for God. Whereas there are other people who their giftedness is as a tradie or as a, you know, whatever else that's really practical.
And then they're a missionary in their work environment, right?
Yeah. And, you know, for them, the investment might just be for their retirement or whatever. And that's, you know, praise the Lord at whatever end you're at.
Yes.
But if you have special talents, God gave them to you for a reason. So don't be scared, like you're saying, Luke, don't be scared to invest those talents or invest in things to free up those talents.
And more than don't be scared, I'm just going to go out on a bit of a limb and challenge you that if you know that God has gifted you with an ability like that, then I would go so far as to say you are already called to use that in the way that we're referring to.
Wow, that's a big statement.
But I think it's founded.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you think it's appropriate that we talk a little bit about debt in this as well, this discussion? Because oftentimes saving and particularly investing can require debt.
That's a good thought.
So like you mentioned before, Ben, a good thing to invest your savings into is a home for yourself.
Yeah, you're not going to have that sort of money kicking around.
Exactly. So like let's say your average home is going to cost you 300 grand. Here it's probably cheaper, other places it's much dearer. So let's average it out, say it was 300. It's going to take you a long time to save that much money. Whereas you can get a mortgage and you can pay that off over time, and you pay a lot more in the long term.
Yeah.
But you save also at the same time, you save the rent that you would have been paying.
Yeah.
What do you think as a Christian? What do you think about the idea of debt? I just set it up with a certain context. I'm not necessarily saying that's the only context that we talk about debt, but
When buying houses, I'm quite comfortable because they have an income as well to offset that debt. I have never taken out a loan for a car. I can kind of understand it if you can't get the money together and you really need a car, then so be it. but I prefer to avoid that sort of thing because houses appreciate,
that's
cars depreciate, yeah. and you will lose value on that very, very quickly.
Yep.
So I don't do debt. I don't buy new when it comes to cars.
Yeah, that's just good money management. That just makes good sense.
For example, the other sorts of debt I do have a credit card, but I've never paid interest on it because I always pay it off before the due date.
Yeah.
And just to talk about credit cards, because that's a touchy subject amongst Christians. Some Christians are very strong in their belief that you shouldn't have a credit card because it's debt. And if you're using a credit card in a negative way, I would absolutely agree with that. Mm. But I think credit cards are, particularly in our modern era, you get a lot of like your points as far as like if you were wanting to rent a house sort of or yeah your credit score.
Credit score is the main reason why I got mine, so that I could get a credit rating for buying a house.
Yeah. So the challenge then is if you have the possibility of spending money that you don't have,
not a good idea.
You can that can be used in a negative way. So
especially if you're naturally because everyone's wired a certain way, right? Everyone is either naturally wired as a spender or a saver. If you're wired naturally as a spender and that's your temptation, then credit cards are a very dangerous thing to have in your wallet.
Yeah, exactly. So we should be careful about them. But yet we're not saying all credit cards are evil.
It's more how you use it. And how it impacts your life is depending on whether something is good or bad. Money, we mentioned, I think it was in last, money is can be the root of all evil, but at the same time, it's an essential part of life.
Yeah.
And I think money isn't evil, but it isn't good either. It's a tool, and depending on whether you use it for good or bad and how it impacts your life is depending on whether it's good or bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as debt goes for me, what you said, Ben, really is the basic way that I look at it. I can never see a good reason for debt, generally speaking. I never see a good reason for debt on depreciating assets.
Mm.
Only on things that will appreciate in value, because then you know you're not going to get stuck with whatever it happens to be.
Exactly.
So, I think if we were to look at that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned a couple other things. Like, there's a lot of people that are in debt for like health services, you know, if they needed an operation or whatever. And so, I mean, that's a different thing altogether. So we're not talking about that.
I mean, you don't really have much of a choice in that matter. And it's as long as you're working towards getting out of that debt, then it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, your health is extremely important. I think that's the other
key factor. Like you mentioned, for example, that there are some situations where getting a debt for a car is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a wise investment.
No, but it's necessary.
Yeah. And so, but the key is it's manageable debt, right?
Mm. Yes.
So like whether it's buying a house, again, you wouldn't go and buy $1 million house that you can't afford to pay back the payments on. First of all, the bank wouldn't let you. But second of all, it's not a wise choice, right? Because it's not a manageable debt and it's going to hang over your head and it's going to stress you out.
Yeah.
But if it's a debt that you can afford to pay back and it's for a very practical, you know, purpose, then I would say do it. You know, do it, but be responsible. You know, don't let the debt be responsible for you. Be responsible for the debt.
Mm.
I think that's the key to it. So we've got saving. We've talked about you know some of the debt aspect. Do you think we should also just talk a little bit about spending? Just before we wrap this up, I know you know it's going to be a little bit longer, but it's really important, I think, to consider this, right? Because we've talked about how it's okay to put money away, but the alternative to putting money away is just spending everything you get, right? And so, what would be the best way to spend your money?
And can
broad question, I know.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a really, really broad question. So are you meaning specific in regards to buying things for personal use? Are you talking about ministry purposes or are you talking about...
Well, we're going to talk about giving in the next episode. So I'm talking about
expenditure. So we're cutting that out of... Yeah, so basically what you're cutting out, you know, ministry, charity, that sort of thing. We're talking about expenditure for us as individuals. Yeah, okay. I think it's one of the things that I was thinking about recently, and for those of you out there, a lot of people out there probably know the name Dave Ramsey. He's a finance guru, and he's big on you know getting out of debt and you know having as little debt as possible. One of the things that I often have heard him talk to people about is sometimes anyway, when people have this thing where they've saved all this money, but they feel like then they don't know how to spend it. And so they're living like on poverty line sort of thing, even though they actually have money and they don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there is a healthy kind of spending that we can have. And I think a lot of it is to do with percentage, right? So like how much, if you're earning a lot of money, you can probably afford to be a little more free with your fun.
So you're saying it's not a bad thing to have nice things?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is culture driven as well. I know I may get a lot of people disagreeing with me on this, but as an example, if you live in a location where a place where, you know, everyone drives BMW and or Mercedes or whatever, and so you're driving around in a beaten up something, and people, and you're culturally out of step with the people that are around you. I'm not saying everyone needs an expensive car, but what I'm meaning is if the place that you live in, your lifestyle and your ministry opportunities are being limited by how people perceive you to be, then it's probably not the worst thing in the world to at least be in step with the people that are around you.
Yeah, okay. I think maybe the example wasn't necessarily not the best example, but I think I agree with you in principle.
Yeah.
It would be, I suppose, akin to not wearing clothes that are respectable within the fashion context.
That's a good example, yes.
Because that can make you look like less of a respectable person.
Yeah.
Car might be that for some people, but probably very, very few.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so it's okay to have nice things. So it's okay to spend your money on things. But what would be the qualifier there? For me, there is one.
It's unnecessary expenditure. So you could go and get that jet ski or something.
Yeah.
Do you really need it? Mm. Well, for some people, yeah, I can kind of see it. Some friends have them, and they use it as a ministry opportunity. And you see,
yeah, and it's okay to have fun.
we were talking about that in an episode a while back, that it's important as a Christian to have fun for ministry opportunities as well.
Yeah.
So I would consider the qualifier to be motivation. So, are you just getting the jet ski, to use your example, are you just getting the jet ski to keep up with the Joneses?
You mean buy it, use it a couple of times, and keep it in the garage?
Yeah, and take it out to wash it every now and then so that people know you have it.
And then, and then start working on the boat, which has to be at least 1 foot longer than the neighbours.
Yeah. So that kind of thing, obviously your motive has now gone from, you know, practical things or just, you know, personal enjoyment and increasing your quality of life to now you're trying to, present some image that makes you look better and whatever. So your motivation is flawed. So I think when it comes to expenditure, we have to just have that check in place to make sure that, why am I doing this? Am I just doing it for selfish purposes? Or am I doing it so that I can have, you know, to enjoy the life that God's given me? Because like we said, it's okay to have fun. And also, you know, just to be able to bless the people around me. So like, for example, your parents have a really nice home, Luke. But they built that home with the intention of, you know, having a hospitality ministry. So, you know, you could walk into their home and think, oh man, look at this waste, you know, or you could walk into their home when it's filled with people and go, man, these guys have an opportunity that not a lot of other Christians have because of their home.
Yeah. And that's the current home, but the previous home that mum and dad had was the same. And we would have like every couple of months, we would have up to like 200 people coming, and we would feed them, and you know, there would be, people would be singing and worshiping and all the rest. And so it was very much, you know, used for ministry purposes. Even though there were only the three of us living there, the whole house was definitely in use a lot of the time.
The other thing is, if you're buying things just for being envious of others, it's not actually a road to happiness.
Yeah.
You'll buy some expensive thing to look good to the neighbors, and then all of a sudden you'll want the next thing, and then the next thing. Yeah. And as we were talking about with the last episode, you do those sorts of things, it starts taking you away from what's actually important in life.
Yeah. And just another practical tip, and I know we just basically talked about it with the credit card thing before, but just to make it really, you know, specific, mm-hmm. live within your means. So when it comes to expenditure, yes. it's really important not to just go and spend money because you've got it until you don't have any more money, and then, you know, you get into that emergency situation and, uh-oh, you know, what happened? I've got all this nice stuff in my house, but I can't get to work because my car broke down.
Mm. Yeah.
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes.
So, like, spend within your means. Don't buy stuff that you don't necessarily need mm-hmm. when you could have been buying something else that you actually do need.
Yeah.
Or, you know, saving that money to help somebody else or to, you know, put away for a long-term investment. Yeah. yeah.
And so, I guess just to wrap up this episode, just like Dave was saying, spend within your means. Yes, investing is okay, and we should invest our money intelligently because that's, again, being a good steward of what God has given us.
And recognize when we have a calling to do so.
Yes, yeah. recognize when we have the calling to do so. And we should be thinking long term. We should be thinking about the funds that God has given us, not as temporary things to be squandered, but we should be thinking long term. How can they benefit us the best in the framework of the ministry that God's given us?
Amen.
So with that, we'll wrap this one, and we will see you guys for the last installment in the next episode. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards, but at different levels there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.